in his Capitol office, secluded with top aides. And it should also be noted that shortly after the incident occurred, the Capitol Hill security was intensified greatly around the offices of all congressional leaders.
Phil, I suppose we have received word, by the way, that the president is now out of the operating room in recovery, the surgery having been finished. A hospital briefing is expected soon, so we should have some official announcement about that shortly, and we'll go there for that. But Phil Jones, I was going to suggest, have you heard the talk now about what to do about this, that the president should perhaps be less accessible, that security should be beefed up, or we're going through this sort of barn door locking again?
Well, interestingly enough, many of the senators and members of the Capitol Hill Police Force were commenting after the whole thing that they had been concerned about his safety and security. When he was on the Hill just a few weeks ago for that meeting with congressional leaders to discuss all of his strategy on the budget, that was with Republicans, as he departed the Capitol building, he stopped to talk with reporters. And after that, walked a few steps to his car, and just alongside his car, I guess only probably 25 or 30 feet from that vehicle, were probably 200 people who had gathered. They had been on Capitol Hill tours, and they had all gathered around to wave and see the President of the United States. And he stood up on the car and waved at these people. And this went on for about, oh, I guess 30 seconds. Finally, he got down, got in the car, and drove off. And I looked over at some of the Capitol Hill police, and they were just shaking their heads and sort of a sigh of relief. And one of them said to me, "Thank goodness he is gone now. We don't have to worry about him. He's no longer on our turf." And they were clearly concerned about his exposure at that time. And you can't police everybody when you have him out in the open like that. You never know who is going to move in and be in that crowd. And I would think that that certainly when he comes on the Hill, security will be intensified. But generally, many of them were saying that that it should have been much tighter long before this.
Is there any thought given as to how the alleged assailant could have made his way among the supposedly credentialed corps of news people there?
Not much. One Senate aide came up to me after the whole incident and said, "Just want you to know that a lot of the senators were saying down there as they were talking about it, it was obviously a reporter who had taken the shots." There has always been a great deal of concern about people coming inside the area where reporters are allowed to roam when a president is out in the open like this. And many times reporters get upset because the security is heavy and everybody is being checked closely. And it's just for this very reason that that it is done, because it's very easy for somebody to slip through and appear to be a reporter. But I don't think that anybody on the Hill at this point is thinking about anything like this. There's not much talk about whether or not this will help those who want to get some sort of handgun legislation. The only concern right now is for the president and those who were injured.
Well, that concern should be satisfied shortly. As we've said, Phil, we do know the president is out of the operating room. That's finished, and presumably in the recovery room. A hospital briefing is expected shortly, and we'll go over there as soon as we can ascertain that it's taken place. Vice President George Bush has been back, I guess, in the Capitol, what, about an hour or so?
I would guess, yes. He came back with Vice President Bush.
So, Congressman Jim Wright, who's a Democrat of Texas, was, however, with Vice President Bush as news of the attack reached them all the way down in Texas. And it's interesting, I think, Phil, to listen as Wright tells reporters the reaction of George Bush.
First, his mood was one of shock and utter disbelief. He said, among other things, he said that he hadn't known Mr. Reagan extremely well for an extremely long period of time, but he found it utterly incomprehensible that anyone could work up a feeling of sufficient malice toward Ronald Reagan to want him dead. I think the mood of the vice president was one that all Americans would find very commendable in the personal sense. He was in complete control of himself and of his emotions. He was, of course, stunned, as all of us were, by the shocking news. And yet there was not a moment's hesitation in his mind as to what his duty was, what he should be doing. He certainly wasn't indecisive. He was decisive, but he was very calm.
That's the reaction of Congressman Jim Wright, describing the reaction of the vice president to word that that the president had been wounded. We don't have the official word from the hospital, but we get some word anyway on Mr. Reagan's post-operative prognosis. Our correspondent, Diane Sawyer. Diane?
Reed, I'm told that the president is out of surgery, that he's also out of danger. Sources very close to the president, sources at the scene, say the prognosis is good to excellent, that he will be placed in intensive care as you would expect after such an operation, that by tomorrow he should be resting comfortably. I'm also told that they found a fragment in his chest and were able to remove that. So once again, the prognosis for the president, I am told, is good to excellent.
Well, Diane, I'm sure that people who have been a little bit confused by the lack of word are glad to hear that. How is it that you get that at the White House before we get it from the hospital? Want to tell?
Got to have some secret. One other additional piece of information, Reed. I'm told that the vice president is here in the White House, that he's in the basement situation room. He's been being briefed on the afternoon events and been talking to the other cabinet members who are clustered there.
And so I suppose that includes the Secretary of State, Mr. Haig, who became fairly visible early in the day.
That's right. And other cabinet members had also gathered over here, and I'm told that they, too, are still in the White House. I think you could probably expect at some point the president would go to see the vice president would go to see the president. But again, given that he's going to be in intensive care for a while, it might not be tonight.
Do you know, Diane, is Mrs. Reagan still at the hospital? I presume so.
I understand that she is, and this must have been very good news for her. Again, this information came to me recently, but I'm told that he could have been out of the operation for at least 20 minutes to a half an hour. Back to you, Reed.
Thank you, Diane Sawyer, who has a bit of information there to the effect that everything is going fairly well. Let's go now to the hospital itself and a briefing on the post-operative condition of Mr. Reagan.
He's out of surgery and is in good condition. And I have brought with me here this evening Dr. Dennis O'Leary, who is the Dean for Clinical Affairs at George Washington University Hospital. I got that? Dr. O'Leary will brief you on the president's operation and on his condition, as well as that of the Secret Service agents. Following that, Sheila Patton, who is Mrs. Reagan's press secretary, will have a word to say about Mrs. Reagan. So now, let me introduce to you Dr. Dennis O'Leary.
Doctor, thank you. Podium. Mr. Nostiker has told you the president is in the recovery room. He is in stable condition, and he is awake. He was in no time in any serious danger. He was alert and awake with stable vital signs up until the time he underwent anesthesia. He was in the operating room for approximately 2 hours. Part of that time was spent ascertaining that he did not have any blood in his abdominal cavity. Indeed, he did not. It was a single bullet wound that entered slightly underneath the left armpit. It traversed about 3 inches of the chest wall and then ricocheted off the seventh rib into the left lower lobe of the lung and moved about 3 inches into the lung substance itself. The operative incision is about 6 inches in width, relatively simple procedure. The bullet was removed, and then the incision was closed. And as I say, he is stable and in good condition.
What is the prognosis?
The prognosis is excellent.
And you're saying that he will no doubt recover. How long is
that? That is always difficult to say. The president, however, is an excellent physical specimen. and we do not anticipate any problems. It is always hard to be precise as to how long he'll be hospitalized, but he is clear of head and should be able to make decisions by tomorrow, certainly. The bullet was distorted, and we believe it probably was distorted by virtue of impacting against the seventh rib, as it, which redirected its path into the lung tissue. We do not believe there's any permanent injury. The heart area was explored. The heart was not involved at all. There were no major bleeding points in the lung, and there was no involvement of the aorta, the major vessel running through the chest. The lung has been reinflated. He has a couple of chest tubes in. Excuse me? I can't hear you. Okay. Mr. McCarthy had a single bullet wound also, entered the posterior right chest and passed through the lung tissue, causing virtually no damage at all except for the passage tract, passed through the diaphragm into the dome of the liver, and passed through the liver into the lateral side of the chest where it lodged against the end of the 11th rib. Mr. McCarthy did have blood in his abdominal cavity. The same test that was performed on the president was also performed on him, and it was positive. The abdominal cavity was carefully explored, and the only damage was the bullet through the liver itself, and a drain was placed in this area, and he is doing extremely well. Has been in the intensive care unit now for about 45 minutes. Okay, Mr. Brady is still in surgery. His condition is critical. We don't have any further information at this time.
Dr. O'Leary, how long would you anticipate that the president would remain hospitalized?
Now, that is difficult to say. Might be as long as 2 weeks, but that is just a guesstimate at this point in time. Okay. That's not for me to answer. Question was the amount of blood. The president required a transfusion of approximately 5 units of blood before surgery, but none during the course of surgery. Mr. McCarthy required no transfusion at all.
The D.C.
policeman was taken to Washington Hospital Center. We have no first-hand information on him. Mr. Brady was shot in the side of the forehead. The bullet went, I'm not certain, sir. The bullet did pass through his brain and came out the other side. He obviously has significant brain injury, and he is in critical condition, but I'm sorry we have no further information at this time.
Who performed the operation on the president?
The operation on the president was performed by Dr. Ben Aaron, who's on our full-time faculty here as a cardiovascular thoracic surgeon. And the last name is spelled capital A, small a, R-O-N. First name, Benjamin. I'm trying to think. I think he's an associate professor of surgery. The other surgeon was Dr. Joseph Giordano, G-I-O-R-D-A-N-O, who is head of our trauma team, and was in the emergency room almost simultaneously with the arrival of the president.
Why did the operation take so long?
The length of the operation really had a lot to do with the testing to make sure that there was no bleeding into the abdominal cavity. It took about 45 minutes. It's called a peritoneal lavage. P-E-R-I-T-O-N-E-A-L. Lavage, L-A-V-A-G-E. That test is important. Is very simple. A small incision is made beneath the umbilicus, and several liters of fluid are placed into the abdomen, and then the fluid is brought back outside and looked at to determine whether there's any blood in it. That fluid can move anywhere throughout the whole abdominal cavity, and if any organ has been damaged and there's any bleeding, one will find blood in the fluid that comes out. That test was negative in the president, and as I said, positive in Mr. McCarthy.
Doctor, in view of the president's age, is there any danger that the lung might collapse again?
Very doubtful. The president is physiologically very helpful. Caliber of the bullet is going to be very hard to tell in the president because it was a really mangled bullet.
Is there a possibility of any other complications besides the lung problem?
It's really doubtful. Again, I would emphasize that he is physiologically very young.
Can you tell where the bullet entered at what angle, from the front, from the rear? Can you get a sense of
it? Well, one would assume that it probably seemed to come from a little bit top down, entering approximately here, traverse down. Traverse down approximately 3 inches, striking the top of the seventh rib laterally, and then going about 3 inches into the tissue of the lung itself.
Is it left it downward further from the seventh rib?
No, it's like coming down, hitting the rib, and then deflecting in to take a new path about, and then
lose blood.
It was in the parenchyma of the, in the tissue of the lung itself, contained within the lung itself.
You said the president was conscious through much of the time. What, if anything, did he say?
Well, the surgeons said that his last remark before he underwent anesthesia was he wanted to make sure that all of them were Republicans. They said that today everyone is a Republican.
How narrowly did the president escape mortal injury?
That's a hard question to answer. As I stated, he was never in any serious danger. The bullet was really not very close to any vital structure.
How far is that so close? How far from the heart?
Probably several inches.
Well,
if it had not struck the rib, it might not have even entered the lung cavity.
And
you could have passed right through the chest wall if it had not struck the rib. I would say probably not. Now, one has to let the effects of the anesthesia wear off, but I think all of us feel that by tomorrow that he would be fully capable of doing that.
The basic decision he had to make tomorrow, of the decision of state of some significance, would he be able to do it?
We believe that he would be able to do it. Dr. Arthur Cobrine, K-O-B-R-I-N-E. Cobrine, K-O-B-R-I-N-E, is operating on Mr. Brady. Arthur. He is an associate professor of neurosurgery.
Is it possible to give us any prognosis on James Brady?
It's really not possible right now. As I said, he's in critical condition, but anything I would say would be highly speculative. Not at the present time, although in the operating room, remember that you've got respirators and monitors and what have you. Well, almost anyone undergoing brain surgery would be on a respirator.
Dr. O'Leary, aside from the obvious gunshot wound, did the president suffer any other injuries, or were there any abrasions, contusions surrounding being pushed from the limousine or the melee that occurred?
Well, not as we're able to ascertain. It's possible that we missed a small contusion here or there, but he was gone over quite carefully.
When did the hospital receive word from the ambulance that he would be on the way?
I can't tell you for certain, but I believe we were probably the closest hospital, which would have been the prudent thing to do. I received information at about 20 of 3 that he was in the emergency room, and I think he probably got there around 2:30.
Who got there first, Brady or Reagan?
No, I'm not sure who got there precisely first. They all came very fast. Well, we maintain a stock of blood, but please remember the we do not run our own blood bank. The Red Cross has a regional center that is very nearby, and we have all the blood we need within minutes.
Did you have enough immediately?
Doctor, when you
I can't answer that question. I don't know. Okay, it appears as if the major reason for bleeding within the chest was as a consequence of the hole made when the bullet actually entered the lung substance itself. As the only bleeding size really could be determined, and although he bled down about 5 units of blood, it was never very brisk. It was kind of a steady bleeding. It was very easy to transfuse him and keep up with his blood loss.
5 units of blood, how much blood is that?
Well, each, let's see, how can I make that simple? It's about 2.5 quarts.
Total
of 2.5 quarts.
Had the president collapsed?
What? Question about collapse.
Collapse?
No, he has a chest tube in. All one has to do is, usually through a chest tube, is to get it in and get the air out of the space between the lung and the chest wall, and the lung expands. He had a chest tube placed in the chest in the emergency room within minutes after he was in the emergency room. Someone else deal with that question.
Does the president not be moved from this hospital for the next few days?
I would say for the next few days it would probably be reasonable not to move him, but I would expect that he will do well, and that will be a judgment of someone else at that time. We have no reason for believing that significant post-operative problems will develop.
Are you in a position, Doctor?
Might have to undergo as a result from this operation?
I would really doubt it. He had a simple procedure. There was very, very little necessity to cut a lot of tissue. We have every expectation that he'll have a normal post-operative course. I don't know the answer to that question.
Doctor, you were attempting to recreate the first few moments when he came into your emergency room. Did he walk in? What were the first things that were done?
Okay, I was not personally there, but my understanding is that he got out of the car and stood up and walked in on his own. As I say, he was alert and awake all the time. No.
Did he ever enter a dock?
Not to the best of our knowledge. Well, I think as soon as he appeared, he may not have wanted to be on a stretcher, but that is our usual procedure for someone who's had a gunshot. About 3 inches. Okay, I'll give you maybe 4 inches. We're giving you an inch for the thickness of the chest wall.
Dr. O'Leary, can you explain why it was that there was no immediate announcement that the president had been shot? Is it possible, strictly speaking, that he might not have been immediately aware that he was shot?
I really can't answer that question. I wish I could.
Did he know that he had been injured?
Yeah, I think he knew that he had been shot.
Were there any visible signs when he entered the hospital?
No, I think, again, I'm giving this to you secondhand. I gather he seemed a little bit lightheaded, but he was cracking jokes and in very good spirits even at that time.
When you placed the chest tube, re-expand his lung, you said immediately in the emergency room. What did that consist of? Was that an incision? Did you have to put it down his throat?
No. Usually a small incision is made between the ribs, and the tube is placed in and then attached to suction.
And that was the first emergency procedure?
I'd say that was the first emergency procedure.
Would that be taking the blood off that was coming from the wound in the lung?
There's probably two basic purposes. One is if there has been any deflation of the lung, major purpose is to re-expand the lung, remove the air, and the other is to provide drainage for any blood in the lung space.
Did Mr. Brady suffer any permanent brain damage if he survived?
I'd have to say that probably is likely, but I really can't give you any more information since he is still in surgery.
Doctor, how long elapsed between when the president went to the hospital and he went to surgery, and can you count that time?
I would say he went from the time he hit the hospital to the time he went into surgery, probably was no more than about 40 minutes. There were a variety of things being done. He had to have blood tests performed to find out how much blood he had lost. We had to check his blood gases to determine how much oxygen was getting into his circulation. I think the thing that probably took most times getting the x-rays necessary to determine the extent of the injury, since he had to have both a chest x-ray and an abdominal x-ray.
Doctor, after removing the bullet, he was repairing the wound without actually removing the bullet. There was an earlier report that might be the case.
Well, I saw those reports, but at the time those reports were out, the surgeons had not even entered the chest as yet. I think every effort would be made to remove the bullet, but if it took a lot of additional extensive surgery, that might have caused a different decision.
Timetable a bit. You say arrived at 2:30 and 40 minutes later went into the operating room, but I thought you said the surgery began around 4.
No. He got to the operating room maybe 3:15, 3:20. Okay, he has to get into the operating room on the table, get under anesthesia in order for surgery to start. So surgery started roughly between 3:30 and 4:15. And it lasted until about 5:30.
Dr. Brady is being performed on Mr. Brady. It's indeed the pool that passed through his brain.
Okay, he is, very simply, he's having a craniotomy, which simply means an exploration of the inside of the head. Craniotomy, C-R-A-N-I-O-T-O-M-Y.
I find it extraordinary that a 70-year-old man could be shot in the lung and then walk into the hospital under his own power.
I think it speaks well for the physiologic health of the president. We do have elderly people, much more elderly than the president is, who do undergo chest surgery, but he certainly sailed through it.
Well, medically extraordinary, though.
Maybe not medically extraordinary, but just short of that, okay?
Now, Doctor, you said the bullet was mangled. Is there any possibility that bullet fragments might remain inside the president's body?
That is a finite possibility, but the bullet did, although mangled, seemed to be intact. You're never sure that you have every tiny little fragment out.
Has the president been told of Mr. Brady's condition?
I don't think that he is alert enough really to assimilate that information, and I don't know really what we would tell him at this juncture, since we're not sure yet what the story is.
Doctor, can you talk a little bit about how what the body goes through, how much of a shock to the body it is when you go through an operation like the president went through, and do you expect any of that shock, if there is any, to be aggravated by the president's age?
Well, I'd say any time anyone undergoes major surgery, a thoracotomy is major surgery. It's not extraordinary surgery, but it's major surgery. That would be a stress for any one of us. It'd be a stress for me. But the critical element is the physiological health of the person and your ability to maintain their vital signs and their blood volume satisfactorily. The president's vital signs were absolutely rock stable through this whole thing.
Why are there D.C. policemen someplace else?
Well, that is a decision really made by the ambulances. But I think that, we do have several trauma centers in the District of Columbia, and to the extent that one center does not get many very seriously injured patients, all of our ability is to care for the patients is increased. Obviously, in the heat of a situation, people do the best they can. If you track back where that decision was made, it's sometimes hard to find out who really made that decision.
How large was it?
The incision's about 6 months, six inches long, and it extends basically from about here into the posterior part underneath the armpit. Okay. About from here to here. You see it? Here to here. Just underneath the nipple. Again, hard to tell. He's a healthy guy, and I'm sure this is a painful injury and even moderately painful surgery, but he withstood it very, very well.
Dr. Larry,
is
this a hospital from urban areas
this
afternoon frequently? Gunshot wounded the chest.
Yes. No question.
Will he be in pain for days or weeks or months?
His surgeons believe that
He will probably be in moderate pain. That will probably not be for more than a day or two.
You had to cut through muscle, didn't you?
Cut through chest wall muscle. That's
pretty rugged muscle cut, isn't it? It's going to be painful.
About average muscle.